Charity peered across at her cousin, who was looking straight ahead with rather mottled cheeks. High seas. It wasn't in her imagination. Leif had definitely found interest in her cousin, and by the looks of Winnith's spotted blush, she was quite aware of it. Never in her life had Arity been one to shy away from teasing her cousin and talking about boys, or men in this case. But this did not lend itself to their usual banter. Winnith did not look happy about Leif's affections, and why would she be when she still wore the grey mourning colour for the love she'd lost months before? And when this new man was a suitor in the hunt? The circumstances made Arity feel like a fist was tightening around her gut. She cursed this terrible situation where her cousin couldn't seek happiness, even as it was staring her down, quite literally. She would gladly tell the Ascomanian lord to drop out of the hunt to seek her cousin, but she knew a man of honor would not consider quitting a cause for his own desires. Winnith must have caught the look of anguish on Arity's face, because she spoke loudly against the wind and clomp of hooves, her voice breaking.
"Don't worry, Eir. We will find them. I'm certain they're okay."
Arity blinked and nodded, looking straight ahead again. On her other side, she could see in her peripheral vision Vixie's perfect forward lean, her hair flying back, in her element. The cool fall air whipped against her cheeks, turning them peach. Hours later, just as the path took them away from the river and the land began to slant upward, she heard the soldiers raise their voices. Arity squinted and spotted men walking through the trees up ahead. Her heart hammered as her eyes scanned. There were three.
"It's them!"
Vixie shouted. Arity nudged Dol harder, picking up speed to match her pulse. She even passed two of the closest soldiers. As they got closer, Arity's sight honed in on the one whose brown waves sheltered the sides of his face. Paxton looked weary and worn, as did the other two. She reared back on Dol and hiked her leg over the horse's back, sliding down to her feet so quickly she nearly fell. The soldiers let Arity run through them to get to the hunters. Harrison was first. He walked with a slight limp and gave a bashful grin. She threw her arms around him before remembering their audience and quickly letting him go.
"Thank the seas. Are you hurt?"
A smudge of mud ran across his cheekbone.
"Just my ankle."
Arity looked toward the medical soldier and called him forward. If there had been time, she would have thought to ask Mrs. Rathbrook to accompany them. As a soldier trained in healing tended to Harrison, Arity took the hand of the next lad, Tian. He gave a tired grin. His hair was still pulled back, as if he'd recently taken care of it. Before she could speak a word, she saw Paxton walk straight past, not so much as glancing her way. She turned her head to follow as he stopped at the soldiers.
"Who killed it?"
he asked in a low, dry voice.
"Which Ascomanian?"
The soldiers exchanged glances and one spoke up.
"The beast. Nobody yet."
Arity watched the back of Paxton's shoulders relax. He turned slightly and caught Arity's eye, holding it for a flash of a moment that made Arity's stomach swoop, before facing the soldier again.
"All the Ascomanians and Zerfinans made it back then?" Paxton asked.
"Oh."
The soldier's face fell.
"I'm sorry, but the Zerfinans are gone."
"Gone?"
Paxton tilted his head as if he'd heard him wrong.
"They left."
"No, they're dead. Honor killing."
Paxton stared at him incredulously, and Tian spoke up.
"Honor killing? But why? Because they were ashamed of not going into the ridgelands in an ice storm. They were the bloody smart ones."
Paxton fumed and pushed ahead through the soldiers. Winnith frowned at Arity.
"The beast still lives," Tian whispered. "We were so close."
Arity's head snapped back to him, then to Harrison, who gave a saddened shake of his head. Despite her inner warnings, Arity's eyes found Paxton again. He walked on, alone.
"He'll be all right once he's had a good meal and a rest," Tian told her.
Arity flushed at having been caught staring. She could feel Harrison's questioning eyes on her, but she focused on the younger brother, fearing Harrison could read her too well.
"Are you all right then, Tiern Seabolt?" she asked.
"Right as rain, your highness."
His brown eyes weren't as bright as usual. Vixie jogged up, practically beaming. She appeared older to Arity in that moment, with her wind-blown hair and her eyes taking in Tiern's weary appearance.
"The medic brought one spare horse. They'd like Harrison to use it," she said breathlessly.
Harrison nodded.
"Thanks."
As he passed Arity, they made eye contact, and she felt the heavy weight of inquisitive concern in his eyes. She looked away,
feeling guilty at the thought that he might have sensed her interest in Paxton. Vixie pulled her hair over her shoulder.
You can share my horse if you'd like, Tiern. They've brought food rations you can eat on the way.
Tiern looked at Arity as if asking permission, and she nodded. The two of them headed for Vixie's horse, and Arity could hear the faded voice of Tiern complimenting the mare as they went. She gritted her teeth as she turned and saw the stubborn stance of Paxton Seabolt ahead, walking back on his own. Wyneth gave her a nod in that direction. The soldiers moved to their steeds, feeding them before setting off again. Arity rushed forward at a jog, hearing a guard close behind her.
Mr. Seabolt,
the princess called out. His whole body tightened, but he did not turn or stop. Arity wanted to scream. What had happened last night? Why wouldn't he take a moment to stop and rest, to eat? Arity went to her horse and opened the saddle pouch, pulling out a hunk of bread stuffed with cheese and salted ham. She jogged until she got to Paxton's side, her guard close behind.
You must be tired, Paxton, she said.
I'm fine.
She looked him over, and he seemed to tense as she absorbed the dried mud covering much of him, even his hands. Tiern and Harrison were not nearly as dirty. Seize, he was tense. She wanted to touch him and soothe him.
Stop a moment, please, she begged.
When he wouldn't, she took hold of his firm forearm.
Your Highness,
warned her guard from behind them, but she ignored him. Paxton came to a stop and stared down at her. She swallowed hard, scared by the swell of emotion in his dark brown eyes.
Please, she whispered. Ride with me.
Thank you, but no.
He attempted to move, but she kept her hand hooked around his arm.
At least take this.
He peered down at her offering of food for a few beats before finally taking it. When she let go of his arm, he sat back on his walk alone. What had happened to him?
Come along, princess, the guard said.
She turned to the older man and sighed, joining him where he held her horse's reins. When the return journey began, Princess Arity could not bring herself to pass Paxton like the others did. One of the soldiers offered him his horse, but Paxton politely refused. Arity had never felt more irritated. Wyneth shook her head at Arity, as if he were a lost cause. Tiern and Vixie trotted beside him for a moment.
You could ride with my cousin or sister, you know, Vixie told him. It would be completely acceptable.
I'd prefer to walk.
Pax,
began Tiern, but Paxton cut him off.
A bit of alone time would do me wonders at the moment, brother.
Tiern merely sighed and shrugged at Vixie, motioning for her to go on as he sat behind her. They trotted ahead, and moments later they were laughing together. Arity and Wyneth kept a slow pace behind Paxton, with two guards behind them. This was ridiculous. She looked at her cousin.
Go on, then. I'll be along soon.
Wyneth shot a look at Paxton's back, and then gave her horse a gentle kick forward. Arity slid down from Doll and kept her reins in her hand, sidling up next to Paxton. He kept up his pace without looking her way, but there was a buzz of energy between them. The princess worked up her nerve and whispered,
Ride with me.
His response was swift.
I won't.
Arity felt as if she'd been kicked in the gut, but the pain was followed by an exasperated anger that fired her tongue.
Of all the insolent, childish, stubborn things, Paxton Seabolt, you're obviously weary. I don't know what happened last night, but there is no good reason for you to refuse help except your own foolish pride.
She watched the joint of his strong jaw clamp and release.
I accepted your food, thank you. I know I'm feeling much better to walk.
Unfortunately for him, his stubbornness was matched by her own.
If you shall walk, then I shall walk.
The guard gave a low rumble of disapproval behind her. Paxton lifted his eyes to the sky and spoke in a low whisper for her ears only.
Is it so hard to believe I'd prefer to be alone? I'm certain every eligible man in the kingdom would fall over his bootstrings for a chance to ride behind your royal arse. But I am not one of them.
Arity sucked in a breath of shock. She saw him take in the rise of her chest from the corner of his eye before looking ahead again. Well, that settled it, the swine. Now Arity would walk at his side for the simple pleasure of not giving him what he wanted. If he thought he could frighten her away with his words and intimidate her, he was wrong. She'd never wanted to bombard anyone with a series of smacks so badly, but she refused to show him how coarsely he affected her. Arity stood taller and looked straight ahead, walking as casually as he. She fought back a smile when, after 5 minutes passed, he turned his head to stare at her incredulously. When she didn't acknowledge him in any way, he shook his head and looked forward again. Her guard had taken to trotting his horse from side to side, making a 20 to 30 foot zag behind them. After half an hour, Paxton finally said,
"You're truly not going to leave me alone."
"Truly?" She was quite chipper.
"You won't ride unless I ride with you."
"Exactly." He let out a growling huff and mumbled,
"This will be the longest day of my life if I have to continue like this."
He stopped and jutted his chin up at Doll.
"Get on the damned horse."
Arity bristled and gave a tight smile. "Well, since you asked so charmingly." She hooked a foot in the stirrup and pulled herself up, positioning her skirts higher around her thighs so her legs could hang down comfortably. Then she scooted up and looked at Paxton's handsome, albeit dirty, face near her knee. He glowered up at her and she patted the spot behind her. Arity could not have prepared herself for the feel of Paxton's solid male body as he easily settled his weight behind her. She was momentarily stunned into inaction, the air halting in her lungs as her body reacted. Her skin had never felt more sensitive, her torso, bottom, and thighs heating to nearly unbearable temperatures. Even the folds of fabric around her hips seemed to caress her in a sensuous way. Arity had ridden horseback many times with others, but this could not be compared. Their bodies were forced together, him being heavier, naturally pushing her up so she was practically in his lap. When she made no move, Paxton's rugged arms came around her waist and took the reins. Her lungs came alive again, sputtering in shallow bursts. What in Eurona's name was wrong with her? My lands above. Arity hoped her sister wasn't experiencing this same sensation. Paxton's stubbed cheek scratched up against her softer one as he whispered in her ear.
"I assume you want to return to Royal Lands sometime today. Allow me."
His voice jolted her back into reality as his hands tightened on the reins. She cleared her throat. Paxton hitched his heels into Doll's sides, and they took off with the guard behind them. Arity urged the horse faster to make good on her promise to get home before dark. The princess felt the solid mass of Paxton behind her, pressing against her back as he leaned them both forward to gain speed. For once, she felt no fear about the galloping animal beneath her, welcoming the wind on her face. At one point, she felt his nose against her neck. And when she pulled to the side to peer at him, his head jerked up and he stared straight ahead.
"You smell nice," he said with seeming reluctance.
The princess faced ahead again so he wouldn't see her smile. Despite the breeze that cooled as the day wore on, Arity found herself warm the entire ride back. When they finally arrived at the commons, Paxton slid deftly off Doll's back. He strode away from her without a word, leaving her abruptly cold in the dusk air. Arity frowned at his retreating form, wondering why he hated her, and why she couldn't bring herself to hate him back. Chapter 31 Paxton's mind was in a dark place as he returned to the commons. Last night changed everything. He could no longer pretend to be normal. He could no longer ignore reality. He could no longer blend in. When he got to his tent, he began shoving his belongings into his bag. His mind reeled as he packed, images of the beast and lash marks morphing into the supple body of the princess pressed against him on horseback. So it was a bit jarring when the tent flap opened and he saw his mother's face. "Pax!" She rushed in and threw her arms around his middle, squeezing him tightly. His eyes closed for two beats as he held her, and then pulled back to see her comforting eyes, her brown hair pulled into a bun. His father ambled in and shook his hand. A mixture of surprise and worry filled Paxton.
"What are you doing here?" he asked. "Is everything all right?" "We heard from villagers who'd visited the royal market that the hunt was moving northwest, so we brought your cold weather gear," his father said.
Paxton nodded his thanks, noticing the pile of items and coats, and feeling a pang of regret. He may very well need them wherever he ventured next. He felt an urge to laugh at the irony that his parents would show today of all days. He hadn't decided on whether he would tell them, or if it would be safer to leave without a goodbye visit. Seeing them now filled him with guilt. If he disappeared without a word, it would kill his parents. But it was better than them finding out the truth. All through his childhood, rumors had flown about his grandmother being lashed. His father had always vehemently denied it, even in their own home.
"She's eccentric, introverted."
People saw what they wanted to see, ignored what they refused to believe, loved ones or not. Paxton rubbed his brow.
Have you seen Tern? He should have returned before me.
We're told he's still at the stables, his mother replied. Her eyes searched him as if gaining sustenance from the sight of his well-being. Paxton let out a small sigh.
I need to speak with you both, he said quietly.
It's Tern, isn't it? His mother asked. He's not faring well in the hunt.
It's nothing to do with him.
Paxton ushered them both to sit, his stomach tightening. They took a seat on Tern's neatly made cart, and Paxton slumped onto his messy one. He ran his fingers through his hair and saw his mother frown at the sight of his hands. He lifted them in haste to see if the lines were visible, but they weren't. They were just filthy. His mother leaned forward and rested a hand on his knee.
I can't imagine what you've been through, Pax. The things we've been hearing. We wake every morning and run into town for news. If it's this frightening for us, I can't imagine.
She looked to her husband, who patted her knee.
We're proud of you both, Paxton's father said. You've made it this far when so many others haven't. One of you is bound to win.
Paxton looked straight into his father's eyes.
It'll have to be Tern.
His father's eyes narrowed in confusion.
And why is that?
He broke eye contact, staring down at his hands with their dried, crusted appearance.
I'm leaving the hunt. What?
Oh, thank the seas.
His mother leaned her head back.
Yes, come home, Paxton.
I'm not coming home, Mum. I'm leaving to be on my own for a while.
They both stared at him as if he'd gone mad. The clump of feet running on damp grass sounded outside the tent, and then Tern burst in.
Pax, bloody hell, that Vixie is...
He stopped and his eyes bulged.
Mum! Papa! What are you doing here?
Their parents stood and embraced Tern.
We brought your cold weather gear, his father said in a thick voice.
Their mother patted Tern's cheek. Paxton could see she was holding back tears, putting on a strong face.
That wouldn't be young Princess Vixie you were referring to now, would it?
Tern's eyes shot to Pax.
Aye, she's got quite nice riding skills.
Don't go falling for the younger sister of the one you might have to marry.
She gave a fake smile, and Paxton wanted to punch something. He was tired of all the pretending.
No, of course not, said Tern. Princess Arity, she's like a dream. Princess Vixie, she's just mad fun.
Paxton would have rolled his eyes if his stomach weren't churning at the thought of Tern and Arity married. A deep growl surged up in his chest, and he coughed to cover it.
Ah, for the love of your honor, Pax, Tern said. You couldn't even wash up for Mum. Look at you.
He made a grab for Paxton's hand, and Pax pulled away on instinct.
What's your problem, brother?
Paxton was tired of lying, tired of feeling afraid and ashamed. He turned back to his bags, pushing in the last of his belongings.
I'm leaving, Tern.
He stood, pulling the pack over his shoulder.
The hunt is yours.
Tern blinked.
You're joking. Do I ever joke?
Again, Tern stared, unmoving.
This is about last night, isn't it? The fire.
In the blink of an eye, Paxton had dropped his bag and pinned Tern against the pole in the center of the tent. The entire structure shook. Their mother screamed.
Shut your mouth, Paxton warned.
The brothers locked eyes. Paxton's fierce and Tern stubborn.
I knew it, Tern started.
Paxton bashed him against the pole again.
You don't know what you're talking about. Boys!
Their father wrenched them apart with his strong hands, nearly toppling over on his bad knees. A clear warning lived in Paxton's eyes as he stared at Tern. Do not tell them.
Fine, Tern grumbled, straightening his tunic. What in your honor is going on here? Their father asked. What happened last night?
Paxton's fists were ready to shut his brother's mouth if he opened it. His voice was like stone.
We nearly froze to death until I managed to build a fire.
I knew we should have brought your gear sooner, their mother said.
We survived.
Paxton bent and picked up his pack.
You should stay in our tent tonight. Don't travel back in the dark.
His father let out a breath, at a loss.
I don't understand why you're leaving.
And you never will, Papa.
It's been a bit more than I expected, Paxton said.
He couldn't even look at his father.
I need time to myself.
His father let out a huff of exasperated breath.
You can't just run when you're faced with difficult challenges, son. I thought I'd taught you better than that. Leave him alone.
His mother faced his father, bolder than he'd ever seen her.
Only the seas know what he's been through these weeks. Don't shame him for leaving this forsaken hunt. His father gritted his teeth. The people will call him a coward, Maron. I don't care what they say.
Tian took his mother's hand and she looked down, covering her mouth as tears filled her eyes.
Where will you go? Tian asked him. I don't know. I'll travel.
Will you come back?
His mother stepped forward.
Our home will always be your home, son. You know that.
In a quieter voice, she said, Papa will move past this. He nodded, though he had no plans to return. He would never endanger his family.
Perhaps someday, Mum.
She hugged him tightly. Over her shoulder, he saw his father's chin quiver, though his eyes were still set in disappointment. When his mother released him, he faced his father, his throat tight.
I'm sorry, Papa. I know it's not what you want, but I swear this is what's best right now.
His father swallowed, shaking his head. Thaxton pushed through the tent flap. He could hear his mother's muffled cries and knew if he looked back, he would see Tian watching him in stunned dismay. He would not turn back. It didn't take long before Tian jogged up beside him. Thaxton kept on.
Let me be, Tian. This is my fault. If I hadn't been so weak in the mountains, if I'd been as strong as you, you wouldn't have needed to. No.
Thaxton stopped and grasped the side of Tian's neck.
You are strong in every way that counts. This is not your fault.
He turned away from the hurt in Tian's eyes, walking on.
You can still hunt. Nobody has to know.
He didn't have time for this. He had to get far away from royal lands before it was too dark. Paxton stopped again and spoke in low tones.
Don't be a bloody fool, Tern. I have lines on my nails. I can't keep them dirtied forever. They'll see them and kill me. Not if you kill the beast.
Paxton inched closer, annoyed by his brother's naivete. While Paxton had hung on to every word of lash news over the years, each of those stories had gone over Tian's head. He had no idea what it was like.
They would never let me marry into the royal line, even if I brought them the beast's head on a platter. That's not fair. Nothing is fair for us, brother, and you need to come to terms with it. This is in your blood, too. Your children could be one of us. You must prepare yourself to be on the lookout once your child turns 7, to teach them to hide it. I've no clue how to teach someone that.
Tian appeared petrified.
If you...
Paxton swallowed down a dry lump with great effort.
If you kill the beast and marry the princess, you can take your child to Mrs. Rathbrook, the royal lashed woman. She will help you.
Tian followed closely as Paxton began walking again.
But that line will go away and you can come back. I feel like there's more to this. What are you running from?
Paxton turned on him, his heart pounding with the grave truth of his brother's question.
I run from nothing, he gritted out.
But it felt like the largest lie he'd ever told. He'd long ago mentally prepared himself for the possibility of leaving his family someday, and he'd kept his heart hardened against the girls in his town. But Arity, he'd never planned for her. She'd made her way under his skin, winding her delicate, strong hands around his heart, and he had to stop it. He had to run from her for both their sakes. He'd been a fool to think he could kill the beast and marry a princess, hiding his true self forever.
Please, Pax, don't, Paxton warned. You will do well, with or without me. What will I tell everyone?
Though Paxton owed the other hunters nothing, it felt wrong to leave without saying goodbye. Paxton shrugged, not stopping.
Tell them I left without a word, or that I'm ill with what the Zanderley had. Tell them I've grown tired of the hunt. Whatever you'd like.
Tian let out a ragged breath of frustration.
They'll never believe you've quit. Stop making a scene, Paxton warned him. Go back to the tent with Mum and Papa, and don't utter a word of this.
But... Laughing voices bounded out from the tents up ahead. 3 Askamanians stumbled out, carrying brown bottles. Volgan took one look at Paxton with all his belongings and smirked. Of all the bloody rotten luck, Paxton thought. He walked past the men without a word.
I must admit, I'm surprised, Volgan said loudly. I thought it'd be the scrawny one who went home first. Unless he's got his big brother carrying his belongings for him.
The men sent up raucous laughs. Paxton gritted his teeth, stopped, dropped his belongings and turned. He would make time to take care of one last thing before he left. Volgan's icy eyes went wide just before Paxton's fist connected with his nose. There was a loud, wet crunch.
The sting of his knuckles and the sudden sounds of shouts disappeared as the two men locked eyes, a battle rage building between them. Paxton braced as the brawny Askamanian threw himself forward. Paxton never stopped moving, throwing punches, releasing all the anger he'd held. He barely felt the pain of the blows, his blood so filled with fire. Both grunted and shouted, beating each other senseless. He felt himself yanked down by the tunic when Volgan stumbled to the ground. They rolled, and Paxton caught the flash of something glint from the corner of his eye.
"Knife!" Tien shouted.
Paxton brought the crown of his head down against Volgan's already smashed nose. As the Askamanian howled, Paxton reached for the man's wrist, which held a curved blade. But before he could get a good grip, Volgan lurched to the side and pulled his arm in, slicing through Paxton's palm. He yelled as a violent sting wrenched through him, and he clasped his hand closed around the injury. Paxton hovered above the man, raising his fist, and before he could swing, his arms were grabbed and pulled from behind. He kicked out and caught Volgan's hip with his boot as he was yanked backward. Volgan rolled away, wincing with pain. It took four guards to pull Paxton off and hold him. Once he calmed, they lifted him to his feet. Lord Leif Alvey stood beside them with his arms crossed over his wide, bare chest.
"Finally had it out. Good. Took you both long enough."
He gave Paxton a wink and turned, his men following as he walked away. Volgan sat up, glowering at Paxton through his purpled eyes, spitting blood under the grass. Paxton looked down the narrow path, thankful his parents weren't in sight. Paxton pulled himself from the grip of the guards. As his breathing settled, he became aware of the cuts and bruises across his flesh.
"You're bleeding,"
Tien said to Paxton as one of the guards led Volgan away, toward the castle.
"I'll take you to the infirmary," a guard told him.
Paxton's hand was clenched around the cut, but blood seeped through. This was no small wound. He wished he had the power to heal himself, but the magic didn't work that way.
"I'll tend to it myself."
He reached down for his bag with his good hand, but Tien batted his arm back, making Paxton hiss.
"Don't be so damned stubborn."
Tien lowered his voice and moved close.
"You're bleeding everywhere. Just do this one last thing to ease my mind, and I swear I won't ask you to stay again. I can't let you leave here like this. You'll get a fever or something worse."
"Fine."
At this one word, Tien seemed to relax. Paxton's hand was throbbing. The lack of sleep and physical trials of the past day and a half were finally catching up with him. He felt as if he could sleep for days. Maybe he would once he found a safe destination for himself. Once this cut stopped stinging, he'd be ready to go. He looked at the nearest guard and said,
"May I be taken to Mrs. Rathbrook?"
The young guard lifted an eyebrow and leaned closer where no one could hear.
"You sure you want the Roccato touch? The castle has a regular healer who can sew that up and give you herbs for the pain if you..."
"No."
Paxton's chest flamed with anger as he bit out.
"Mrs. Rathbrook healed me before, and as you can see, I survived just fine. She's no one to fear. She's not Roccato."
The guard gave a suit-yourself shrug, and Paxton's fists itched to punch again. He let himself be led to the one place in Eurona where he did not wish to be while his fingers were marked. The castle. The place where the one person in Lochlannach lived, whom Paxton's heart and mind could not handle. The princess. Chapter 32 Princess Arity heard the commotion through the closed window of her studies room. Her teacher frowned at the disruption. He was already grumpy after having to postpone their lesson to late afternoon, but it was hard to concentrate when the men were shouting outside. Her heartbeat quickened as she began scribbling the last lines of her Eurona trade composition. She pushed it hastily toward her teacher and stood.
"Here you are, Professor. I'm sorry again for the delay today."
She grabbed her shoulder bag and rushed from the room. When Arity reached the great doorway to the outdoors, a guard held out his arm.
"I'm sorry, Princess, but tensions are high among the hunters at the moment. I can't let you go out there."
"What's going on?" she asked, trying to peer past him.
"Just a scuffle. It's under control now."
"Hmm."
Arity moved to the side study room, an old library with shelves upon shelves of rare editions only a scholar could appreciate. She went to the window and saw two hunters being led toward the castle, surrounded by guards. She could have sworn the bowed head among them was Paxton's. Arity rushed back to the doorway of the study and peeked through the crack as the men were led in. One of the gruff Askamanians, bloodied and swollen, followed by Paxton, his hands and loose fists, his hair a mess of brown waves around his face. A flash of vivid red covering Paxton's closed hand caught Arity's eye, turning her stomach. Another injury, this one from a fight. She waited until the men had all passed, then followed them quickly down the hall. Droplets of blood trailed the floor in their wake. A maid was already at the entrance of the hall, rag in hand. Around the first corner, Wyneth and Lady Ashley stood arm in arm as the men passed. Wyneth kissed her mother's cheek and then went straight to Arity's side, taking her arm instead as her mother went toward High Hall. "What happened?" Wyneth whispered. "I believe Paxton and one of the Askermanians had a fight." Wyneth sighed and shook her head. "Will you do me a favor?" Arity asked. "Will you go to the men and find out what happened for me?" Wyneth stiffened a bit. "You mean outside? With the hunters?" Yes. Arity didn't understand her cousin's reluctance. She'd been around the men many times now. And then she remembered the way Lord Leaf had watched Wyneth. "You know what? Never mind." Wyneth cleared her throat. "No, it's not a problem, I'll go." Wyneth began to turn away, but Arity kept hold of her fingers. "No, cousin, the details don't matter. Won't you talk to me?" She gave a gentle tug until Wyneth faced her and met her eyes, smiling gently. "Tell me what's on your mind." "Nothing at all." Wyneth squeezed her fingertips. "I'm feeling a bit off, perhaps coming down with something." Arity shook her head. "Stay inside, rest in the warmth." "No, the fresh air might be good for me. I will find out what's happened and return shortly." Wait. Wyneth ignored this. "I'm fine. Go check on the skirt razor." She kissed Arity's cheek and walked away, unwrapping a shawl from her waist as she went and tossing it around her shoulders. Arity watched her cousin until she had gone. A wave of worry battered at her heart. It was unlike her cousin to keep her thoughts so guarded from Arity. She wished they could talk about all of this, no matter how awkward the circumstances. Arity made her way to the infirmary wing where the guards had left the men in separate rooms. She went to Paxton's doorway. His back was to her, and he seemed to be looking down at his hands. A young, beautiful nurse bustled up beside her with a steaming bucket of water and clean rags. "I'll take that," Arity told her. The nurse's eyes widened, looking from Arity to Paxton. "But Princess..." Arity gripped the edges of the bucket and gave the girl a reassuring smile. "It's fine, I assure you. If you could tend to the Askermanian hunter, I'd be much obliged." The girl glanced toward Paxton's still form again and nodded, looking somewhat crestfallen. Arity waited for the nurse to disappear before entering Paxton's room, kicking the door shut behind her. She set the bucket on the table. If possible, he was even dirtier than he'd been when she'd found him that afternoon. "You shouldn't be here," Paxton said morosely without looking at her. The despondency in his voice filled her with worry. "We should clean your hands so Mrs. Rathbrook can tend to your injuries better." She dunked a cloth into the hot water. "Come here, Paxton." He stared at a blank point on the wall.
"I will wash myself, Princess. You can go."
Arity bristled.
"Can you not set aside your asinine pride for one moment, Paxton Seabolt? Are you like this with every person, every woman, or only me?"
Her emotions were rising. She'd tried over and over, driven by the chemistry between them and the few glimpses of warmth he'd shown, like fleeting gifts of golden flecks she couldn't keep hold of. Still, he stared at the wall, unmoving, hands clasped tightly.
"Why did you even join this hunt if you hate me so thoroughly?"
Arity snapped, immediately regretting the question. Without looking her way, Paxton said,
"It was never about you, Princess."
She swallowed hard. She'd known that. Perhaps it was even one of the reasons she felt so drawn to him. He wasn't after the prize of promised wealth or a royal lass in his bed. Yet she swore there'd been a mutual attraction from the beginning. Had it all been wishful thinking, girlish imaginings?
"Of course,"
Arity said quietly. Her palms rested on the side of the bucket, her fingers dipping into the water as her heart sank, and she felt as young and foolish as Vixie.
"Just wash while the water is hot."
"I will. You can go."
Arity nearly obliged, but he appeared so forlorn.
"I should stay until Mrs. Rathbrook gets here. You look as if you're about to fall over."
He finally looked at her with hard eyes that made Arity feel as if he'd struck her. Indignation burned through her. She was tired of this.
"What cause have you to hate me so? It seems the more kindness I show, the more bullheaded you become."
Arity threw the cloth back into the water with a smack. Paxton's jaw clenched.
Why do you care? He asked.
I'm beginning to wonder that myself. Arity frowned up at him.
Well, you won't need to worry about my bullheadedness getting in your way another day, your darling highness. The moment my hand is healed, I'm leaving.
Arity flinched. Leaving?
Yes.
Their eyes searched each other, seeking something she couldn't explain. Why? Arity whispered.
For reasons you wouldn't understand.
Arity's eyes burned. He was right. She didn't understand this man nor his reasons. She believed he was acting out of hurt, but she couldn't figure out what could have possibly hurt him so deeply, or what it had to do with her.
I don't know what's happened to you, Paxton. I want to help you, but...
You wouldn't want to help me if you knew.
Arity stared up at him. Did he have a criminal past? With his temperament, it was a possibility. Even so, he seemed the type to act out of a sense of honor and justice, not petty reasons. Arity stared into the depths of his dark eyes, searching for answers.
I think you underestimate me, Hunter. But I cannot stop you if you choose to go. I can only tell you with all honesty that I wish you would stay.
As she moved closer, she swore she felt Paxton soften, though his face remained impassive. She moved closer still, fully expecting him to back away, but he didn't.
I must leave today, he said in a low voice.
Arity, knowing this could be the last time she saw him, went up on the tips of her toes and placed her lips against his. She watched as his eyes fluttered closed. When he didn't stop her or push her away, she brought her hands up around his neck and pulled herself higher, tasting the fullness of his salty lips, like the sea's.
Princess, he whispered in a guttural tone against her lips. You don't know what you do.
I do know, Hunter. I know exactly what I do.
His head pulled back and his eyes bore into hers, filled with a mix of punishment, anger, and desire.
You've no clue who I am.
Her skin pebbled with goose flesh at a sense of foreboding.
Then tell me, who are you, Paxton Seabolt?
He slowly took her wrist from around his neck with his good hand and moved his bloodied, dirtied hand to the edge of the bucket, nodding toward it. He watched her, inviting her to wash him now. Arity, flustered by the intensity in his eyes, as if he were inexplicably daring her to do this, reached into the bucket with a shaking hand and began to wash his wrist and the top of his tightly fisted hand. She gently turned his hand and coaxed open his fingers, dunking his open palm into the water. He didn't flinch, but it had to hurt as she gingerly wiped away the grime to reveal a gaping slash in the middle of his palm. Blood seeped out, coloring the water in swirls of red. Arity wound the cloth around his palm and set to cleaning the caked-on dirt from his fingers with her bare hands. When Paxton tensed, Arity glanced at him. His jaw was set in hard lines as he watched her work. She gently continued, trying not to cause him further pain, using her small nails to scrape away the dirt edged into his cuticles. The bit at the very bottom was particularly difficult. She splashed more water on his fingers and rubbed again, staring, then scratched harder, pushing at the dirt, willing it to budge. But it was too straight, too uniform, too smooth. Her stomach dropped. She looked at his next finger and the next. All the same. It wasn't dirt at all. Arity went stiff as she stared at the purpled lines. She stood still, but the room seemed to be moving. For a moment, she forgot to breathe. She couldn't look at Paxton's face, but she could hear his quickened breaths close to her ear. In a moment of denial, Arity scratched lastly at his thumbnail, only to reveal another line. Almighty seas. Arity felt a sob rising up inside her as the truth flooded her system. Paxton, she whispered.
Now you know.
His voice was resigned.
Now you can let me be.
But she couldn't. She knew he had not received those lashings from hurting another person, unless perhaps it was self-defense. No matter his outer temper, she had always sensed the man underneath this secret, a secret massive enough to warrant his anger and hurt. Arity knew in her gut that he would have only used his power as a last resort. He remained so still beside her, allowing her to keep his hand in her own. Truth and understanding continued to pour over Arity in a heavy wash. Stories cartwheeled through her mind, lashed being persecuted and abused, rounded up and killed out of fear. She had studied the history of the lashed in great detail. The thought of anyone seeing his hands in this state, of anyone trying to kill him, filled her with a fierce protectiveness. She held his hand tighter. He could have chosen not to reveal this to her. Arity felt certain that Paxton did not share his true identity lightly. In fact, he'd probably done it to scare her away, and at great risk to himself. Well, it hadn't worked, because she wasn't scared of him. If he'd intended to put a greater gap between them, he'd only succeeded in making her feel closer. Her heart filled with empathy. Words would not do at this moment. Arity turned and their eyes caught. He stared at her as if wading through thorns, searching, waiting for what harsh word or sharp accusation might come from her lips. The princess rose to her toes again, circling his neck with her wet hands, and pressing her mouth against his. He jolted in surprise before reacting. This time he did not remain still. Paxton's free hand rounded her waist and pulled her body firmly against his. His mouth took over, his lips moving against hers in a heated rush of ownership that caused her entire body to react. He growled against her lips.
"Will you never cease to surprise me?"
Arity was overwhelmed and could only cling to him, her eyes stinging with emotion as she soaked in all he'd held back, all he'd tried to keep hidden. She hadn't been a fool after all. He'd felt this thing between them as much as she had. Distant footsteps and voices sounded down the stone hall, and Paxton stepped away, rubbing his stubbled jaw with his uninjured hand. Arity felt cold as she dropped her arms to her sides, except her mouth, which still burned. Paxton moved closer to the bucket, over which his injured hand hovered, the cloth now stained red.
"You should go," he said. "Please don't leave tonight," Arity whispered. "Talk to Mrs. Rathbrook."
She could only hope the woman would have some sort of idea or advice for Paxton. His expression was one of disappointed strain.
"I can make no promises to you, Arity."
She swallowed and nodded. This was about life and death for him. It was wrong that he should have to live this way, that he should have to give up his freedom. Arity needed to speak to her father. Something had to be done in the kingdom. It was one thing to read about Lasht. To see this pain, to feel it up close was wholly different. She felt ashamed at her past inaction. She could no longer be silent. A quiet knock sounded on the door as it opened. Mrs. Rathbrook's gaze passed between Arity and Paxton before she let out a knowing sigh.
"Go," Paxton whispered to Arity.
The princess gave a nod and shared a meaningful look with Mrs. Rathbrook before she exited the room, leaving her to heal and hopefully mentor the magical man who had so ensnared her heart. Chapter 33 Lady Wyneth held her skirts tightly in her hands as she walked over the cobblestones. This morning she had started to choose a pale yellow dress, a favorite of hers, but even touching the fabric made her feel traitorous to her love's memory. She chose grey again, though she knew Brecken would want her to be happy. He wouldn't want her to continue mourning, but her heart was not ready to let go of what they'd had. A part of her would always long for that sweet love. Wind whipped past and she grasped the shawl at her chest. A great divide had taken up residence within her, the half that ached to see Lord Leif Alvey each day, and the half that dreaded it, knowing it was wrong to feed this interest. She hated herself for having these torn feelings for one man, as she wore the bereavement color for another. Her heart became a rapid drum as she approached the entrance gates. Thankfully, Harrison and Tian were standing close by, with their bows strung across their backs, talking in low tones. "Oi, lads," she called to them. They raised their chins and smiled as she entered. From the corner of her eye, she saw a group of men emerge from the tents, geared up. The tallest, broadest, blondest of their rank stared in her direction. Feeling his eyes on her, she was momentarily too distracted to speak.
"All right, then," asked Harrison.
"Oh, yes," she cleared her throat. "I came to see what happened this afternoon."
"Pax finally kicked that Coldland man's arse,"
Tian said, grinning.
"Been asking for it since day one."
Wyneth raised her eyebrows. "But they're both all right." Harrison shrugged, like people beating each other was commonplace, and perhaps it was.
"They'll survive, probably even be back for the hunt tonight."
"Well, all right then." Wyneth could see Leif moving in their direction now, and her stomach rattled with nerves. "Good, I'll just be going, I suppose." She gave them nervous smiles as she turned to leave.
"Are you all right, Wyn?"
Harrison called, his voice tinged with worry. "Aye, fine, she responded over her shoulder. When she was nearly at the gates, his smooth, deep voice called out to her.
My lady.
Wyneth slowed, her stomach giving a massive stir of satisfaction, which quickly filled her with shame. Her hand clung to the gate, but she didn't turn. The guards watched, and when Wyneth looked at them, they turned their faces away.
Are you well?
Leif's concerned voice asked her. Wyneth shut her eyes.
I'm ready for this cursed beast to be killed, and this hunt to be over.
Come what may, she meant that with all her heart. She was ready for this sense of doom to lift from the kingdom, so they could all seek a normal life again. Though normal would likely have a completely different meaning once the hunt finished.
Walk with me.
He held out a bare arm, and Wyneth looked toward the guards. The self-preserving part of herself hoped the guards would suggest against it, as they would with Arity, but they only moved aside. Wyneth's heart flipped and then fell in a single swoop. Past Lord Elvy, she could see Harrison still watching her, a terse frown on his face. Guilt churned within her.
My lady.
Lord Elvy was holding out his arm. Wyneth tore her gaze from Harrison and hesitantly took the Coldland man's arm, her fingers curling over a small portion of the muscle there, and he led her away from the castle. He felt so nice, so masculine and safe. But her brief feeling of comfort quickly morphed into one of misgiving. He wasn't hers, and he wasn't safe. Nobody was. Lord Elvy, she said as they turned the corner toward paths into the forest. I should return to the castle. It's not proper.
It's merely a walk. I'll have you back soon.
She pulled his arm to stop him and dropped her hands, a sense of resolve settling over her.
This has to stop, please. I don't want to think about you anymore.
Have you been thinking of me?
His light blue eyes trapped her, and his white smile dazzled her senseless. She cleared her throat.
I mean it, Lord Elvy. I can't see you alone anymore.
Why won't you call me Leif?
Your wife may call you Leif, but I will never be your wife.
His head tilted downward. A brisk wind came up from the waters and rustled through the nearby trees, causing Wyneth to shiver. How could he stand there, half naked and completely unfazed by the elements? He reached for her arms, as if to warm her with his broad hands, but she stepped back in a hurry.
You can't do that.
Her voice held a plea, and his eyes fell.
Doesn't it bother you at all that you might be married to my cousin soon?
He blinked, his lips pursed.
In Ascomani, as it used to be here in Lochlannach, royalty marry for purpose. Land, ties, wealth, politics, carrying on the bloodlines. Our commoners marry for companionship. It is understood that I will marry for the reasons all my fathers before me have married. But that does not mean I cannot have a separate relationship with one I love.
Wyneth swallowed down a bout of bile, sickened by the bitterness.
I will not be your mistress. To even suggest such a thing is offensive. Here, in this time, it is a great dishonor to your spouse to love another. And I would never do that to my cousin. You should be warned that Lochlanns would withhold their support of any prince who treated their princess in such a way.
The look of ease never left his face.
Lady Wyneth, surely your king and your kingdom understand by his proclamation that Princess Arity's marriage is not likely to be one born of love. And if I kill this beast, which I fully intend to, it would be a great dishonor to refuse the king's offer. I will treat your cousin with the utmost respect, but I will not deny myself or her of taking another. It's simply how it's done.
She gaped.
But you'll lie with your wife to carry on the bloodlines.
He let out a breath.
Yes.
Well, I will not be that other whom you take.
Tears welled in Wyneth's eyes at the fact that Lord Elvy could be so cold. In that moment, it was no longer about herself or him, but about her cousin, who deserved so much better than the vision of union this Ascomanian was willing to offer. She couldn't stand the thought that her cousin was doomed to such a marriage.
I am not a heartless man, my lady. This is how it has been for generations. It works well for our royals. You have only to get your mind past the barriers of social norms you've accustomed yourself to. It's a different path of thought. Different, not wrong.
Wyneth shook her head. Romantic delusions or not, she could not get past this.
It's my hope that your feelings for my cousin will grow, so that you don't need another. This ends right now.
Lady Wyneth,
His warm, strong fingers reached for her and slipped away from her arm as she walked off, hurrying out of his reach. She kept her head down, hiding the heartache that was undoubtedly etched across her face. Chapter 34. The smart thing for Paxton would have been to stop the kiss. The smart thing would have been to ignore his feelings for Arity and the calming words of the lashed healer, and to leave as planned. But all of Paxton's wisdom had filtered away like water through sand when Arity's kiss of acceptance had seized his heart, claiming it as easily as if it had never been guarded at all. And then there was Mrs. Rathbrook. The lashed woman had appeared unsurprised when she saw his marks. She'd healed him, then returned with a small jar of a milky substance. She dabbed a bit on each of his nails, and Paxton had strained to hear her quiet words. "This will act as a temporary paint that matches your normal coloring. I've invented this mixture myself. You're not the first I've had to hide. If you scrub or scratch your nails, it will chip off. Be careful, lad." She patted the top of his hand when the paint dried and sent him on his way. As he exited, he heard her call out, "Will you hunt tonight? I think you should." He thought about it solemnly before giving a nod.
"Aye, perhaps I will."
The woman grinned and set to cleaning the table.
"Very good, then."
She began to whistle a tune. It took Paxton a moment to recognize the folk song as he left the hall. He could almost hear his grandmother's voice singing it in her old cottage. Something about the winds of change blowing o'er the loch. A sea of change a-brewing. Paxton groaned when Tiern saw him gearing up for the hunt, because his brother looked as excited as a child at the fall carnival. Paxton wanted to tell him not to get his hopes up, that he might have to leave at any moment without notice, but he didn't bother. Tiern's hopes were already too high, so much so that they were unperturbed by the sharp glances being thrown their way by a swollen Vulgan. Lord Leif Alvi met Paxton's eyes, and though he gave Paxton a nod, he seemed disturbed by something. The Zanderley entered the commons, dressed in their hunting clothes.
"How are you feeling?" Tiern asked.
"Good enough to eat you."
Zandora made a move to bite him, her white teeth clicking an inch from his nose, which she touched with her finger before smiling. Her sisters laughed.
"All better then," Tiern said, his back stiff. "Well done."
"Though I am not happy with your healer."
"Why?"
Paxton asked.
"She gave us a potion to sleep, and we missed all of the fun."
She appeared indignant that she'd been held back from joining them in their freezing hike.
"You have the heart of a true hunter, Zandora," Harrison said.
"Of course I do."
She strapped on her bow.
"Now you will tell me every detail we missed."
As they set off with the Ascomanians and Zanderley, Paxton furtively checked his nails. Then he wondered what in the high seas he was thinking remaining in this hunt. It was foolhardy at best for him to stay. His mind felt like a sapling caught in a gale, leaning this way and that. When he decided to reveal his true nature to Arity, he'd been fairly certain she would keep his secret, yet thought for sure she would be disappointed enough to finally let him go. What he'd not expected was for her to kiss him with more passion than he'd ever felt before. It turns out that the princess, in all her riches and innocence, was as hot-blooded as he. Even now his blood heated, warming him against the chill in the air, imagining her soft lips and the island scents of coconuts and berries that lingered over her fresh skin. Deep seas alive, that kiss. But even if Arity accepted him, the kingdom never would. Secrets had a way of revealing themselves. If the people found out there was a lashed among their royals, Paxton imagined riots, looting, and uprisings. Worst of all, he imagined the people would take their fears out on innocent lashed and their families. Paxton would be selfish to take such a chance. He couldn't see himself living in a castle anyhow, though he could imagine himself sharing a bedchamber with Arity. Cursed thoughts. Paxton shook his head and made his way quietly through the fallen leaves to the same spot they'd hidden in last time. They would line the same river, and the watermen had agreed to help once more, their boats offshore. Their hope was to lure the beast down from the mountains or out from the water. They waited hours, feeling the frost set in around them. Paxton crouched under the drooping branches of a persimmon tree, his frozen ears perked for any sound. From a distance, he could see Tiern shivering, even in his fur-lined leathers. But Paxton wasn't worried. The temperature was cold, but not quite freezing like last time.
The Xandali were as still and quiet as ever. The night was silent. No horns, no beast, no hunters calling out, no fishermen throwing rocks toward shore. Paxton nodded to himself as the far sky began to lighten. The creature had probably taken the night off to tend its wounds. He clenched his teeth in frustration at another unsuccessful hunt. As the hunters marched stiffly back to Royal Lands, tired and sullen, Tian and Paxton kept toward the river, talking in low tones in case Harrison or the Xandali caught up to them.
"How long will that last on your fingers? Whatever she used," Tian whispered.
"Few days, maybe a week if I'm careful."
They walked in silence a few moments, until Tian looked around to make sure nobody had come near.
"Listen, Pax, in no time at all those marks will be gone, and nobody will ever know. If you kill the beast, you can marry the princess and—"
"No, Tian, get it through your mind. I cannot marry her. Lashed, we don't even live full lives."
"What do you mean you don't live full lives?"
Paxton shrugged.
"Lashed need to work magic to live longer. Haven't you seen how quickly they age?"
His brother's eyebrows were drawn together. Of course he hadn't noticed.
"I'll most likely die in my 40s, as ragged as an old seafarer."
He hadn't let himself dwell on this part, though it bothered him far more than he let on.
"Deep seas," Tian mumbled. "But you could secretly use magic and just keep wearing that paint."
"No, I can't live that way."
"Why are you so keen on having another marry her, Pax? I thought you wanted her for yourself."
Paxton could feel Tian staring at him when he didn't respond, as if trying to work a puzzle.
"I know you care for her, you bloody brute. At this point, I would only marry her so that I might take care of Mum and Papa."
Paxton gave a dry laugh.
"How quickly your attitude has changed. You make marrying Princess Erity sound like a chore."
"Not a chore. It just feels wrong now. And perhaps I fancy another."
"The little sister." Paxton chuckled for real now.
"She has several years before the king will let you sniff around her, brother. She's bound to fall in love with a dozen officers and lords between now and then, long after the hunter's invitations have expired."
Tian looked down at his feet, and Paxton immediately regretted what he'd said. Yes, it was known that the king wanted his children to marry whom they chose, but this hunt was a special circumstance. The royal children did not regularly interact with commoners in normal life. Tian glared at him.
"Why are you bothering to hunt then, if you don't even plan to marry her? For the glory? One last show of your mighty greatness before you disappear forever, and the rest of us are left empty-handed."
Tian's huff of angry air made a cloud of steam as he stomped ahead, leaving Paxton on the sandy, leaf-ridden shore. Paxton turned toward the water and crossed his arms. Why did he stay, if not to claim Erity's hand? He stared down at the broken oyster shells and smooth stones, gently battered by the moving water. The truth hit Paxton's chest with powerful force, but he couldn't admit it to his brother. Yes, he wanted Erity, but in reality he felt he could not have her. If he couldn't have her, he wanted none of these other hunters to claim her either. Perhaps it was selfish, but he didn't care. He couldn't stand the thought of any of these men, including his own brother, smelling her scented skin or tasting her soft lips as he had. If he killed the beast and forfeited his prize, it would baffle everyone, and perhaps even bring the royal family a moment of shame. But it would leave Erity free to choose of her own accord. No, he could not explain that to Tian. His brother might keel over from shock to find out Paxton was capable of such thoughts and feelings. He turned at the sound of footsteps in the sand. Harrison and the three Xandali joined him in the surf.
"If I do not kill something soon," Zandora said, "I will need to fight."
She rubbed a fist into her palm. Paxton held up his hands.
"Don't look at me. I've had my brawl. You'll have to pummel Harrison here."
The lieutenant laughed.
"Have the healer at the ready for me."
Xandora punched Paxton's arm.
"Who did you fight?"
"Volgan."
Her eyes gaped wide and she punched him again.
"I miss all the fun. Did he bleed?"
"We both bled."
"Who shed more?"
By the seas, her eyes were hungry for details.
"Paxton was declared the winner," Harrison told her.
A rustle sounded from the trees, a squirrel jumping from branch to branch, showering the ground with colorful foliage. Paxton heard a whiz, and the squirrel was suddenly falling to the ground, a shining arrow through it. Xandora lowered her bow.
"I feel better. A little."
Paxton grinned as Endora stomped away with her sisters, grabbing up the impaled rodent on her way. Harrison shook his head.
Remind me to stay on her good side. Bloody right.
They walked in silence, a strange, unspoken tension.